Job chapter 42, and the text that we spent some time on last Lord's Day morning was the verse 10. Turning the tide of trouble, certainly as far as Job was concerned, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Last Lord's Day morning, we were considering prayer and the man of God. Job, of course, was the man of God. With regard to Job, we noticed how Job was recognized. He was recognized for his piety, feared God and eschewed evil. He was recognized for his practice, because six times over the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" He was a servant of the Lord. The word servant there means doer. Job was a doer for the Lord. He was recognized for that, recognized that he was a servant of the Lord. He was also recognized for his patience. James 5, verse 11, ye have heard of the patience of Job. And then we noted that he was recognized for his praying. The Lord informed Eliphaz, "My servant Job shall pray for you." Job was a man who had a burden for prayer and a burden for souls. "My servant Job shall pray for you." He was recognized as a man of prayer. That's how Job was recognized in all these areas of his life. We noted also Job's readiness. Looking at the words again, the Lord said, "My servant Job shall pray for you." That indicates his readiness, his willingness to intercede on behalf of his friends. We noted that Job did not need to be prompted or commanded to pray. Rather, he was ready and willing to pray. The Lord said, "My servant Job shall pray for you." We noted also just how dependable this man Job was with regard to prayer. In verse 8, we find the words, "My servant Job shall pray for you." In verse 10, we there have the words, "Job, when he prayed, the Lord said he shall pray." And we find in verse 10, he did pray. He was dependable. He was dependable with regard to interceding for others. He was dependable with regard to prayer. When someone says to you, "I'll be remembering you in prayer," you will know by that individual whether or not you can depend on that person to pray for you. If a brother or sister says to you, "I'll be praying for you," in your own heart you know, well, you can depend on that person's prayers. Because they're recognized as men or women of prayer. We noted also that Job was respected. Twice over, the Lord told Eliphaz regarding Job, "Him will I accept." The word "accept," we discovered, means respect. It is elsewhere translated respect. And in praying for his three friends, the Lord said of Job, him will I accept, him I respect. What a wonderful standing this was for Job, to be accepted by the Lord. Yet no more accepted, believer, than you and I. Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And so when we pray, the Lord accepts us at the throne of grace because we are in Christ. We have been accepted in the Lord. So we need not fear praying whether the Lord hears us or not. He will hear us. He will answer us. He will answer every prayer we offer to him. But that doesn't mean that he's going to say yes to every prayer. He will answer. And from time to time the answer is no. Nevertheless, he'll still answer. So we noted then prayer in the man of God. That leads us this morning in this verse 10 to prayer and the mercy of God. Job's troubles began with Satan's malice. And Job's troubles ended with God's mercy. Our text reads, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Does that verse not speak to us of Job's or of God's mercy? Regarding the mercy of God, we note here then Job's captivity. The Lord turned the captivity of Job. Isn't it interesting how the Lord described the troubles of his servant Job like being in captivity? Once Satan was permitted to have his way with Job, he was a captive. He was a captive to sorrow, to suffering, to sickness. He was a captive to all that Satan put upon this servant of God, Job. For Job, it seemed that there was no way out of all that he had gone through and of all that he was suffering. There was no way out. He was held captive as a result of Satan's cunning devices. Remembering where all this trouble originated, of course, it originated with Satan. And this brings to mind the words of Paul when describing the actions of Satan, 2 Timothy 2, verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive. Taken captive by him at his will. Taken captive by the devil. The devil takes the sinner captive at his will. They're easy prey for the devil. They fall into his snares easy enough. And he takes them captive, and there's no release, and there's no liberty, and there's no freedom until the Lord comes and breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the captive free. And that's how the Lord described the troubles of Job. He had been taken captive. The Lord turned the captivity of Job. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that you have been taken captive by your problems, your pain? Like being shut up in the prison, and you say to yourself, is there no release? Am I ever going to be released from this pain or this suffering or this problem that I have? It's like being held in a prison. You feel that all your trials have taken you away captive, and you can't find a way of escape. Well, that's how the Lord Himself described the trials and the troubles of Job. He was been held captive. And you feel at times that Satan has taken you captive with his railing accusations, his attacks upon you, and you wonder, is there no end to it all? I'm sure Job felt that way. You think of it, sitting there in dust and ashes. Every day like the day before. Still scraping the boils of his body. No one near him to bring him comfort apart from his three friends. And he had nothing to look forward to except a day like the day before and the day that he was presently living in. He was held captive. Did he not think at some time or another, is there no end to this? We feel like that at times with our trials and our troubles. Not necessarily sickness, but just particular trials that we go through. And we have nothing to look forward to except another day of trials. We've been taken captive. Well, Satan may have taken Job captive, but the Lord was the one who set him free. The Lord was the one who gave Job his liberty. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. We notice then also Job's change. The change that took place, we've seen his captivity, now we have the change. The Lord turned the captivity of Job. There's the change. Turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. In turning his captivity, the Lord turned, as it were, Satan away from Job's door. And in that instant, a great change was wrought in Job's life and circumstances. Doesn't this show us something? Believer, doesn't this show us just how quickly and suddenly the Lord can change our circumstances? You've battled with a problem for weeks, maybe months. And this problem has held you captive. And it's on your mind day and night. Well, here we see just how suddenly the Lord can change your circumstances and the circumstances of any one of us. Just as he did for Job. You turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And verse 4, look at the words. verse 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Just the way streams turn and twist through the land. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears will reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sow in tears, reap in joy. There's the change, there's the turn. From tears to joy. Verse 6, from weeping to rejoicing. Again in Psalm 30, in verse 5, David there says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In the morning, the very next day. And dear believer, after a long night, and indeed for you perhaps many nights, there will come the morning. There will come the morning when everything will change. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. And his captivity was turned immediately when he prayed for his friends. That's when his captivity was turned. Weeping may endure for a night, and it was a long night for Job. But joy did come in the morning. No matter how dark or how long the night has been, the sun must rise in the morning. You have something on your mind, and you go to bed at night. You may catch a few hours sleep. You may be waking about 1 or 2 in the morning. You can't get to sleep again. It's a long night. But you know the sun must rise. There will be a dawn. The sun will rise and will chase away the shadows of the night. Likewise, in our troubles, it may be a long night, but the sun must rise. And the sun, in our case, is the sun of righteousness, who will arise with healing in his wings. And so, dear Christian, the Lord can change our circumstances, and he can change them like that. He changed Job's circumstances when he prayed for his friends. Turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. The city of Samaria has been under siege. The people within the city to satisfy their hunger have resorted to eating all kinds of things. Verse 24, 2 Kings 6. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and, behold, they besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. not only were they prepared to do that, but they were prepared to resort to cannibalism. And two mothers entered into a pact that they would slay their children. One of them went through with the vow or the pact, and the other didn't. But that was the state. That was the situation within the city of Samaria. We read then in chapter 7 and verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Tomorrow. You'll not have to eat the meat from an ass's head. You'll not have to eat dove's dung. Tomorrow, you will have in your possession flour and barley. After a long siege, and it must have been very long whenever they were prepared to resort to cannibalism. They were desperate for food, and yet Elisha came along and said, tomorrow, about this time, 24 hours time, you'll have food. It seemed impossible. But you go down to verse 18 of the same chapter 7. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that's what happened. In 24 hours, there was a dramatic change. The Lord changed the circumstances of the people of Samaria, and he did it inside 24 hours. See? After the long night of famine, after the long night of this siege, in the morning came. Think of the disciples. John 21. Seven of them. They had denied their Lord. They had forsaken their Lord. They were really backslidden. Peter said, "I go a fishing." They also say unto him, "We go with thee." In other words, they went back to their old ways, to their old profession. They went back to fishing. As far as they were concerned, their life as Christian ministers and disciples was over. And they went out that night and they fished all night, and we are told they caught nothing. Didn't look too bright for them. If they were going to go back to fishing, didn't look good. Toiled all night and caught nothing. And then we read, and in the morning. In the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. And everything changed. The Lord said to them, "Children, have you any meat?" And they said, "No." Didn't have a big lot to say. He told them to go out and cast the net on the right side of the ship, and they brought in a great draught of fishes. Everything changed. Suddenly and dramatically, the Lord is able to change our circumstances suddenly and dramatically, even as he did for Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. There's the mercy of the Lord. So we have noted then Job's captivity, Job's change. We see also that Job was considerate. Here is the interesting truth about the turning of Job's captivity. It was when Job prayed. And prayed for his friends. I want you to notice something. Job wasn't set free. The Lord did not turn the captivity of Job when he prayed for himself. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for others, when he prayed for his friends. That's when the Lord turned his captivity. No, the blessing of freedom and liberty and being set free came when he prayed for Eliphaz, Bildad, and so far. Job had been most considerate. When you think of all the things that his three friends said to him and about him, how they criticized him, how they condemned him, how they chastised him. They had said all kinds of things against him. And they had not spoken well of the Lord, as the Lord said. And yet, when it came to the turning of Job's captivity, it wasn't his praying for himself, it was his praying for those who had criticized him, condemned him, and chastised him. That's when the Lord turned his captivity. If you like, when he prayed for his enemies. Oh, they were his friends. That's what they said. Many ways turned out to be his enemies, the things they said. But that's when the Lord turned Job's captivity. Why? Because Job was considerate. He wasn't so much thinking about himself as about others. The Lord had already told Job what he had thought, or what he thought of his three friends. They have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. They have not spoken of me the thing that is right. And so Job was aware of how his three friends had angered the Lord because they had not said that which was right about the Lord. And here we have Job, the man that he was, considered his three friends, and if you like, the trouble that they were in with the Lord. And he was considerate in praying for them. Isn't that what the Lord has commanded us to do? We noted that the other week. The Lord has told us to pray for our enemies. We're to pray for those who have offended us. Pray for those who have put us down. Pray for those who have hurt us, perhaps with their cutting words. We are to be just as considerate as Job. Because the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Of recall the words of James we mentioned in our Bible class this morning. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. You'll notice here with regard to the sick, prayer is mentioned a number of times. But look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Pray one for another. This is something that is laid out in the Word of God. This is what the Lord expects us to do. This is what the Lord commands us to do. Pray for one another. And if we are aware of trials that others are going through, our burdens that others are carrying, our sorrows that others are suffering, we're to pray for one another. We're to pray at home for them. We're to pray in the Lord's house for them. That's why we have our prayer meetings, that we might pray for one another. We may forget to pray at home. But at least when we come to the Lord's house and come to the prayer meeting, well, that's what we're there for. We're there to concentrate on prayer and to pray one for another. That's what this dear man Job did. He was considerate. He considered the plight of his three friends. That's why the Lord was so sure that Job would pray for them. My servant Job shall pray for you. And God's servant Job did pray for them. That leads us now in the last place and quickly to prayer and God's measure. The Lord does not hold back when it comes to blessing His people, especially those who seek His face in prayer. Here we have a perfect example of this in the life of Job. Notice first of all the generosity of the Lord. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord turned his captivity. I have no doubt that Job would have been satisfied with that. He would have been happy to see his captivity turned, to be released from this suffering that he was experiencing, from these boils that covered his body. He would have been happy with that. But that wasn't all. If you look there in verse 10, we have a little English word of four letters. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends also. There's the word. Also. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. My, we thank the Lord for His alsos. As I say, Job would have been happy. Job would have been blessed indeed just to have his captivity turned. Just to be granted health once more. And then he could start and build his life again. But the Lord has His alsos. He turned the captivity of Job Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Wonder many alsos of the Lord are in Scripture. But certainly here's one of them. Wonder many alsos we have experienced in our lives. How many times has the Lord given us more than what we asked for? How many times have we experienced the Lord's also? The Lord has said, I will do this for you. Also, I will do this. Lord's no man's debtor. Paul said, Ephesians 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And it's not our power. It's the power of God that works in us. But the Lord, or Paul, has said now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Exceeding. He exceeds our expectations. He exceeds our requests. He exceeds our desires. That's his alsos. And over in Luke's Gospel, we have the same truth set out for us there. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall man give into your bosom. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. There's the Lord's also. Gives us a good measure. Like the sack is filled with corn, with grain. And the farmer takes that sack and gives it a shake, puts some more in. Shakes it again and puts more in until it's rolling over. How often have we been able to say to the Lord, my cup runneth over. The Lord has given us more. There's his alsos. That's his generosity. And then you have Job and his gain from the Lord. We have seen what Satan took away from Job. Now we see what the Lord gave to Job. That's what the Lord is. He's a giver. The only thing the Lord takes from us is our burden of sin. Remember what the Lord told Israel when they chose Saul to be their king? You read through that chapter and it's, he will take, he will take, he will take, he will take your young men, he will take your daughters, he will take your lands, he will take your crops, he will take, he will take, he will take. That's like the devil. That's all he does. He'll take away our health, he'll take away our happiness, he'll take away our joy. He just goes on taking. But the Lord is the one who gives. Out of the infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. And he gave to Job. He gave to Job twice as much as he had before. My, didn't the Lord reward Job's faithfulness? Job remained true to the Lord all the way through his sufferings. He rebuked his three friends. You have not said that which is right concerning me like my servant Job. The Lord takes note of our faithfulness. The Lord rewards the faithfulness of his people. He will give. He restored to Job all that he had, twice as much. He had 10 children before. The Lord gave him twice as much. He restored him all his cattle, his oxen, his camels, twice as much as he had before. That's what the Lord does. Always gives you more. And he goes on giving. He restores unto us the years that the devil locusts have taken. He restores them to us again. He'll give them back to us. And when Satan has stolen our happiness, the Lord will restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Here we see that the Lord restored all that Satan had taken from Job. Twofold. We serve a wonderful God. We serve a wonderful Savior. He's good. He's gracious. He's generous. And he's always giving. That's why we come to worship him. That's why we fall down before him. That's why we give honor and glory and praise to the Lord. Because he's so good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Because his mercy endureth forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We'll continue our study in Job, Lord willing, next Sabbath morning. O Father and eternal God, we give thee thanks for the teaching of thy word that comes to us, that comforts us, that shows us how undeserving we are of all thy mercies. And yet, Lord, thou just continue to give. How we thank thee for those words. The Lord gave to Job twice as much as he had before. How we thank thee for those words. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Lord, make us all intercessors. Like Abraham. Like David. Like Moses. Men who interceded on the behalf of others. Yea, like our blessed Savior, who even on the cross cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, bless us on thy table this morning. Draw near to us. Have us, Lord, to see by faith the one who hung upon the cross.